Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Nordman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. The 414 Hour on KBN is brought to you by Siding Unlimited. Siding Unlimited is Wisconsin's leader in Pella window installation. Looking for new windows, siding, roof, and doors? Visit them at SidingUnlimited.com.
It's the 414 Hour at Folk on KBN.
He is Kyle Wallace. I'm Ben Brust alongside Brad Nordman. Brad Nordman today. Get it right.
Nordman.
Alex Strofe is running the show. UKBN Nation at 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line lists is more. And of course, you can see us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. I mentioned, and I think it's already become easier after 24 hours, to turn the page from what was a very emotional and a much-needed victory to get atop of the NFC North for the Green Bay Packers, that you have a really tough game out in Denver against a good defense, a team that's won 11 games this season.
They lost in September.
Week two.
Yeah, they've won 10 in a row.
That's crazy.
Longest streak in football, tied with the Patriots.
So that's what is next for this team before they take on the Bears at Soldier Field, Ravens at home, and of course, ending with J.J. McCarthy. Here's what Matt LaFleur had to say in his presser about what is next for this team.
Everybody's right there, and you can't take anything for granted. And we got a hell of a test coming up against the top-ranked team in the National Football League in their house, and we're going to need a great week of preparation to go out there and to get the job done.
So I do want to get, obviously, the Kyle fan perspective moving on. But more importantly, Brad, from an emotional standpoint, right, you know you play the Bears again, and it will mean something to both teams in any way, shape, or fashion, whether it be the North or vying for the number one seed, depending on what results happen and all of that, right? When you beat a team like the Bears and then you go play the Denver Broncos, is there any coach that comes to mind that did the better job or the best job keeping the team focused on what's ahead?
Yeah, both Brett Bielema and Ron Rivera, similar fashion, had a similar phrase where they said, basically, you win a big game, your prizes, you get a bigger game. That is the takeaway from when you win a big game. And I can think specifically when we played, when I was played for Wisconsin, we beat number one Ohio State in one of the most memorable games in Wisconsin football history, was beating number one Ohio State. We went and played Iowa the next week. It was a top 15 matchup. We were both in that like 10 to 14 range. I remember Brett Bielema saying, like, congratulations, I hope you enjoyed it, which we all did to some degree that night. But he said, basically, if you don't go to Iowa and beat Iowa, then why even beat Ohio State? Like, that you get a bigger game as the prize for winning that big game. But if you don't win the second game, that first game doesn't matter. Like, the things we want are bigger than each individual game. Yeah. And if you don't win this game.
And it's true right here for the Green Bay Packers.
And it is. And I would say it was the same thing in Carolina when we had big games. And I have less concern about professionals, right? It's easy for college to kind of go through big swings. Professionals, they have their weekly rhythms, their weekly approaches. They celebrate, but they move on to the next thing. They're a professional outlook. I would actually be more concerned if the Packers were playing the Vikings this week.
What?
I would say that if that was the case.
I agree.
If it went Bears, Vikings, Bears, I'd be more concerned on a letdown and almost more. Now, they have their hands full with Denver.
I hear you.
But let me just finish.
She's right.
That would be an easy trap game to say, you know what? Like, we got this with Minnesota.
But they do got it.
Exactly.
No, but they got it.
But we got this.
They got it whenever they play.
So we can start to kind of poke our eyes over the horizon and see the Bears. This team, they know that they have a a handful with the Denver Broncos, a handful, and it's an away game. So everything about this is uncomfortable. I would be surprised if this team doesn't show up. I don't know if they're going to win or not because the Broncos are that good, but I don't think they're going to lay an egg. I think if they had to go to like Minnesota, I would be a little bit more on alert and saying there's a chance this team comes out distracted and looking ahead because it's a lesser opponent where I think you can start to look ahead. I would be shocked if this team did it, but that was the biggest takeaway. You won a big game. Congratulations. Your prize is a bigger game this upcoming week.
Brad, you are 100% correct about rather having this type of gauntlet that you have to go through where you're not having a game in between where you're looking over. Because think about it. The Green Bay Packers couldn't look to the Bears the first time. Why? Because they had to take care of business with the Detroit Lions. And then when they played the Bears, they couldn't look to the Denver Broncos, who right now are considered tied for the first best team in the NFL. So I love the fact that they have to go through this gauntlet where they cannot lose their focus. A young team like this needs to be able to go through this type of thing because guess what? When you get to the playoffs, you're going to need to have this type of focus as well in order to get through the brutal schedule and the brutal teams that you're going to get through to get to the Super Bowl. So I absolutely love that Matt LaFleur is taking this mentality. Hey, it is what it is. We got to throw all our best stuff every single week. I am so happy that the Green Bay Packers are being challenged week in and week out because they always say if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And the Green Bay Packers having to beat the best right now is exactly where we want to be because regardless, I think, you know, we all believe the Green Bay Packers are going to make the playoffs. I want them to be battle tested. I want them to have this mentality, understanding we've gone through this before. We had to play the Lions on the road. We had to play the Bears when they were first place. We had to play the Denver Broncos who are competing for a number one seed. We had to play the Baltimore Ravens, a team that was fighting for the playoff life. That is what gets you battle tested. So I love the fact that my head coach has this mentality of this is the game that we're focused on, a very good Denver team, and we have something to prove right now because the Green Bay Packers have a chance to knock off a team that has won 10 straight games. That is a big deal. Really big deal on the road.
So I agree with the fact that I like the mindset, but the Minnesota comment is complete baloney sausage, and it might be the worst thing I've heard you say in a long time, to be real honest. I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, wow.
I expect more out of you because we have context of this already this season. In fact, within the last month, we have context of this. If you want to make the case for Minnesota being a trap game, look no further than a month ago. To kick off this four-game winning streak, they went to New York and beat the Giants. Then they went to came back home when they were about to operate on a short week where they had to go to Detroit on Thanksgiving and played Minnesota at home. That seems like the perfect opportunity for a trap game, but what did they do? They had their most dominant victory of the NFL season. Hold on, I'm not done yet, though, because there's more context to this. When we want to talk about trap games, the idea of that, and this team that needed to turn it around because what happened a month ago when we were talking about is Matt LaFleur on the hot seat, they lost at home in a trap game. After coming off an emotionally charged victory in Pittsburgh, they returned home to host the Carolina Panthers, your Carolina Panthers, and they laid a freaking egg. So they've already gotten those games out of the way. They lost to Cleveland in a game they shouldn't have lost. They lost to Carolina in a game they shouldn't have lost. This is a team that has now seemingly turned it around. So I don't care if it's Minnesota Vikings, the University of Minnesota, or the Minnesota School of the Blind. They're going to get up for every game going forward because the expectation is much higher.
Even with what he had said, I still think it applies to even the Vikings because you earn that and you get something bigger, which is another game that you can put a lead on if, like, in the NFC North or chase the number one seed. We're at this point in the season where I actually am with Strofier. I don't care who it would be on the schedule.
I hear you out on that, but the fact that they beat the Steelers and then lost to Carolina proves my point. And the fact that they beat the Giants and then lost. They beat the Giants and then they beat the Vikings. Easily could have looked ahead to the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah,
however,
they didn't do that.
The equation is though coming off of a big emotional victory, right? Because the Giant game was not a big emotional victory. It's the sandwich of the two. Big emotional victory and then potential letdown afterward.
I still think with where we're at in the season, I don't care who it would have been. As Dr. Denver Dan chimes in, they're getting playoff ready. They're getting playoff locked in.
I'm not saying that if they were playing Minnesota, they were going to lose. I'm saying that we're talking. The concern is now, the Packers don't take this game seriously enough because they're looking ahead to the Bears, right?
Yeah.
I think that is more likely to happen if you play the Vikings. I think this team. It's hard to convince this team.
The part if the Vikings weren't in the NFC North, I think maybe I'd agree with you. But that's the part I'm hung up on. It's a divisional rivalry, right? Like, you played in Carolina. I don't know. I don't remember when you guys were so good, what teams were bad in the division.
By the way, this is completely hypothetical that we've gone down because they're not playing the Vikings.
Well, I know, but it's,
I tried to
think interesting
that they still had on their record. What if they play? I guess if they played Cleveland, if they switched
to
Cleveland
games. No, I get what Brad is completely saying. And again, after you played the Vikings the first time, I think the Packers still had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from the previous year because the guys in the locker room and even Michael Parsons, who wasn't on the team, had talked about, oh, we were 1-5. And Keyshawn Nixon even went and said, we're 1-6. Like, they know how bad they were in the division, and they wanted to get their lick back. And once you get your lick back on a team and you know how much you destroyed them, it's a little bit different, man. It's all, the focus isn't going to be the same. This is a perfect lineup for the Packers.
I will say, though, I think there is something to carrying kind of what you said into every game in the division. So I know that was used as the example. There are three teams in division play that are undefeated. The Patriots, who are 3-0, so they have three left. The Chargers, who are 4-0, they have two left. And the Green Bay Packers are the only team in the NFC that are undefeated in the division, 4-0. You don't think after 1-5 with a tip field goal, they don't want to beat the crap out of everyone in the division and take back the North? I don't care who it was or who it would be, and especially for the example used of the Vikings, I don't care. They would have showed up because of who they've shown that they are the last 3 weeks.
I'm with you. I don't think they're going to let the Vikings off the hook. I'm just saying that if you are concerned about a big game hangover, a big victory
hangover.
Well,
then maybe it's moot. We're not concerned because they do play the Broncos, and Matt LaFleur is getting them ready.
That's true.
I'm telling you.
They know it's a big game. They will not have a big victory hangover.
I am so
because
happy
it's a big game.
That the schedule played out like this. We knew going into the season that this was going to be a challenging matchup.
Yeah, great point.
Little did we know at this point that this matchup would be one that could be a Super Bowl-type matchup, but more importantly, another huge challenge after a huge victory. We didn't think the Chicago Bears would be first place. You know, we wouldn't be playing them for first place this late in the season. But you had that big emotional victory. Now you have a chance to back it up. What are these guys made of? You're going to learn a lot about yourself this week against the Denver Broncos. So
I will say,
fantastic.
Not to be negative, but historically speaking, over the last couple of years, especially maybe not like in the December month or whatever. The Bears game, that's a game that I went in thinking, like, we all kind of felt a level of confidence, right? This Broncos game is the kind of game where they'd come out flat. Like
why?
I just have memories in my brain.
I don't see it,
of
Brad.
The Packers going to the West, and they've got,
this,
you know.
This isn't Rodgers against the 49ers.
I'm just saying, this game
if
has
anything,
the recipe.
If anything, I take the opposite approach because Matt LaFleur has already said it, and everyone knows that the Denver Broncos have won all these games, their defense is good, and what is the one thing that right now people believe in most? And that's Jordan Love. And what are people putting him in the conversation of? Well, he's top three in MVP. You know, you bolster that, you'll put a whooping on the road on one of the best defenses in the NFL.
I will say, all of his big games, Jordan
whooping
Love.
Whooping would be tough, but you get what I'm saying. You have a performance.
Won't be BTA this week.
All of Jordan
you're gonna,
Love's
you're gonna keep
big
the belt on the waist,
games
built on.
Have been like against average to bad defenses. If he cooks the Denver defense, he should be he's a serious MVP candidate. Should be a very serious MVP candidate.
It comes down to the offensive line on Sunday. If the offensive line is able to block as they have the last couple of weeks, the Green Bay Packers will win this football.
Denver's probably the best D-line in the NFL.
Best pass rushers in the NFL on both ends. They have an opportunity they can slow them down.
Hey, guess what? It's giveaway time. I love doing this. College hockey fans, get ready for the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off. Wisconsin, Boston College, Lake Superior State, and the defending national champion, Western Michigan. Battle it out Sunday, December 28th and Monday, the 29th at Fiserv Forum. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or the Fiserv Forum box office. Or you can win them right now. Caller number 14 to win four tickets. A four-pack. Four tickets to the Sunday, December 28th games at Fiserv Forum. The Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off. December 28th and 29th at Fiserv Forum. What number did I say, 12 or 15?
You said 14, I thought. Play it back.
I thought he said 13.
Are you serious?
I can make a definitive right now.
Wait
right?
a minute.
I will definitively make it caller 11. 800-990-3776. Caller 11 to win four tickets to the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off. 800-990-3776. Caller 11. More KBN. Don't go anywhere. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
I text Greg Scalzo, and I say, Greg, I'm sorry, I'm going to be late to work. I'm caught in an international conspiracy.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
If your 2025 was defined by pain, then make 2026 defined by healing, and you can do that at QC Kinetics. They offer a pain-free option using their cellular treatments. They are the nation's leader in regenerative medicine, after all, that will give you your life back and that pain that you're feeling in your knees, your hips, your shoulders, or your back, wherever it is. QC Kinetics will give you a pathway to a pain-free life. They are the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. That means no surgery, no pain pills, no long healing, just your body remembering what to feel like again. When I've been to the Greenfield location, there's also a Mequon location, it's incredible to see their team at work, led by Dr. Ashley Caravelli and her team at QC Kinetics that operate on your body. When you go to your free consultation, they're going to take a look inside that joint. They're going to diagnose it. They're going to tell you what's going on, and they're going to give you that pathway, a personal pathway, to a pain-free life. You're going to be like the thousands of other satisfied customers who are wishing they should have done it earlier. So if 2025, you put it off, 2026 is the year that you tackle that pain, and you're going to do so with the help of QC Kinetics. Now is a great time to reach out to them. So do so and get your free consultation. Give them a call today at 414-240-2298. 414-240-2298. That's 414-240-2298.
Kyle Brustin Ortman across 94.5 ESPN, YouTube ESPN Milwaukee, and of course, download and use the ESPN Wisconsin app. Listen live, listen back, all in the palm of your hand. Strofe's running the show, and we had this conversation, I want to say, when Tucker Kraft was a part of the team, but a lot has changed, obviously. He is out for the season, and it was very easy. It wasn't easy, but I think I saw, from a fantasy perspective, I don't know if it's true or not, but it might be. It speaks volumes about how productive
always
he was.
Always a great start. This might not be true, but it very well could.
I think he finished tight end one.
You might want to do some research. You want to do some research on this because we've got some.
Despite being injured.
No. Are you No.
Who?
Trey McBride has to.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. Yes. I got
just saying on the air.
This is the third time today we have been called into question. Homer called us into question, and then something else, and now this. Like we got to be a little bit.
Strofe's my
up.
Big J journalist that does Bam. All the fact checking. Maybe by average points.
It's tight end 14.
That's impressive. Tight end 14, and he's missed all these games.
Can I confirm? So you said you what was it? What?
I missed the four at the end.
I believe he said, and I quote, "I saw this." I believe it's true, but it might not be. It's just not even close.
And what was it that you thought you saw again, just to refresh everybody?
Sleeper Fantasy said Tucker Kraft finishes the year at tight end one.
I'm on Sleeper right now.
What point did you start to think, wait a minute, that probably doesn't add up?
When I started speaking just
he hasn't played in like 6 weeks.
All right, so Trey McBride, 18 points per game. Let's see if it's even true, because he's tight end one. 12 points per game.
Yeah! That was close.
Six points off. You're a touchdown off.
The real question I'm trying to get to is, we know how important Tucker Kraft was to the Green Bay Packers.
Very important.
And were we not very worried about how they would distribute the football?
Super worried.
Then Christian Watson came in, and he was amazing.
You can't leave the show with it. Just
but no,
what a wild way to get
into
that
conversation. I'm like Jordan Love. I just threw an interception. I'm trying to throw some touchdowns. Let me cook, man.
All right, fine.
Let me cook. Man. So, Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, obviously the two most important Packers on the field. It was arguably Tucker Kraft as number three. Who is number three now? Is it Christian Watson? Did he just come in and take number three most important Packer away from Tucker Kraft? Everyone, go! 800-990-3776. Touchdown, Ben Brust after an interception.
Okay, to me, it is Christian Watson. Who is the third most important Packer behind Jordan Love, Micah Parsons? It's Christian Watson. There's so many people that could be this, but to me, Christian Watson's productivity on the field, he is playing like a true legitimate number one wide receiver. He's putting up points and yards that rivals a lot of the other big-name guys over these last several weeks. Not only that, when Tucker Kraft got injured, there was a problem. Big problem. The problem was, who's going to be the number one pass catcher? Who is this offense going to run through? the last several weeks has made the point that Christian Watson is now that guy. We have seen how much the offense can expand, how much more you can do when he's on the field. He is a walking explosive play, clearly one of Jordan Love's favorite receivers, and we know that this Packer team wins consistently and can do so in pretty strong fashion when Jordan Love airs it out, when Matt LaFleur lets it rip. Who is he airing it out to? Who is he letting it rip to? Answer, Christian Watson. So there's a bunch of guys on defense I could go to. Maybe even Zach Tom or Josh Jacobs or Xavier McKinney. There's other guys you could look to. But to me, it's clear. Christian Watson is the third most important Packer for now and the rest of the season.
It's going to get interesting because I saw one I was sleeping on. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, so Christian Watson right now, he has turned into a guy that we have been waiting for. I mean, on that check on the touchdown where they checked to the pass play, he ran that slant and took it to the house for 40-plus yards. That it was extremely impressive. But, Brad, you're wrong. The most important player outside of those two, Michael Parsons and Jordan Love, it is Xavier McKinney. Xavier McKinney is the most important player because I remember this Green Bay Packers defense allowing so many explosive plays over the top, but that does not happen. Last year, he sent a whole message into the entire NFL that if you try to test me, I'm going to pick you off. So guess what? Teams do not test the Green Bay Packers deep. Teams do not get a lot of explosive plays in the passing game at all over the top of the Green Bay Packers defense. That's why the play that the Eagles got against the Packers with when Evan Williams ended up being right there and it couldn't stop Devontae Smith from getting that touchdown, that was something that we have not seen. Why? It's because Xavier McKinney is an absolute monster up there. He makes sure that every offense that goes against the Packers is going to have to work the ball downfield.
Everything's in front of this defense.
Because of the fact that you have a guy, the captain back there, who is tremendous in Xavier McKinney. You take him out the equation, this defense isn't as good as it is.
I will say one quick add to Xavier McKinney.
Stop saying I will say. Just say it.
Okay,
you're on the show.
I will say, using my
now
voice,
trying
which is
to
what
come
I do.
At people. I need backbone Brad.
There's part of me that wonders, like, man, where's Xavier McKinney been all year? Where are those interceptions? The reality is people aren't throwing his direction.
Wait,
like they are voiding.
Are you saying you saw that and it might be true, but it might not be?
It might be true. I don't know for sure.
Is that what you're saying?
But I saw it somewhere.
That sounds eerily familiar. Almost like myself to start this segment.
Xavier McKinney has made this defense elite when it comes to stopping explosive plays, and that's why he is so important. We saw how bad safety play can be. We were just 2 seasons ago, we were complaining nonstop about the revolving door.
Christian Watson is getting a lot of answers, but the next on the list is Josh Jacobs. And I think it's easy to forget about Josh Jacobs, who put his right foot into the ground and ran through four defenders to get them in position to win that game when it looked like all was lost against the Bears on that offensive drive.
Not many guys can do what he did on that play.
He is a staple of who they are, even if Jordan Love is cooking. Josh Jacobs has to be a threat for Jordan Love to be able to do what he's doing. Because you've seen the two safeties, and you hear him go can-can, and everyone talks about now they like to run the ball. But guess what? If you don't have Josh Jacobs and it's just Emmanuel Wilson back there, they're just keying on Jordan Love, and you're not able to get as creative because you don't have to respect the run as much. I think that's a very fascinating argument right now for Josh Jacobs. Now, AJ in Baltimore here, I don't think third most important Packer outside of Jordan Love and Micah Parsons is either of these guys, but they deserve shout-outs, Sean Ryan and Anthony Belton. Let's go to Pat on the east side of town. How can you be on the east side? Are you in Madison?
Hello, everyone.
Isn't the east the lake?
Well, I live on the east side.
Yeah, you can live on the east
Josh
side.
Josh Jacobs is good. He's a stud.
Hold on, Pat. We got to address what Ben just said.
I told you someone was wrong with his brain today, didn't I tell you?
He did say that. Did you just say, are you on Madison because there's not an east side of Milwaukee?
The east would be Lake Michigan.
Yeah, that would be east side.
And guess where you live if you live right next to Lake Michigan?
Milwaukee.
On the?
Which side of Milwaukee?
Lake Shoreline.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay, so you've never been to like the lower east side? Good restaurants over there?
Pat, on the east
how
side of town.
How long have you lived here?
You are up on the Carpus Talking Text line.
How long have you lived here?
2021. In Milwaukee.
You've been here 4 years.
Yeah.
And you didn't know there was an east side of Milwaukee.
Pat and the east side of town, who clearly shows me this exists. Who's the third most important Packer?
Okay. So Josh Jacobs is a stud, but without question, it's Christian Watson. And after the Packers win the NFC Championship game, he will be in the cover of Sports Illustrated. Mark my words.
Wow. Okay. Call your shot.
All right.
Cover of Sports Illustrated.
A wide receiver.
Hold up. They still
the man.
Do that?
He's the man.
Do they still do that?
Make Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, they do. Okay. Yeah.
Pat,
do you still get it delivered?
No, I read at the library.
Oh, okay. Shout out to you, Pat. We need the library.
Your local library.
He's joking, Kyle. Yes, he gets it sent.
Oh, no, I think he's being serious.
Pat, you get it sent to you.
I'm serious. I don't. I used to. Not anymore. I read at the library.
He's not kidding.
Yeah. Bad brain.
Dude, the library has so many good
they
resources.
They have everything. The library has everything.
Support your local library. That's the point of this.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Ben could really utilize it.
Yeah, of course Ben just brushes off
Kyle,
the library.
Kyle, do you know if is there a library in the east side?
There is a couple libraries. Would you consider downtown the east side or no?
No, I'd consider that downtown.
Okay, well, there's
an east side of downtown, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, there's not one really on the east side.
Yeah, if you're thinking about the one I'm thinking of, that's downtown.
Why don't you just go to your home and look outside, you know, and take in the snow?
I will definitely take into. Matter of fact, that's too real because this morning I woke up and I said, I hear a plowman again plowing my snow out. And I looked out my beautiful windows. I'm telling y'all this right now. If you are looking to upgrade your windows, look no further than Universal Windows Direct. I cannot tell you enough how excited I am to have my windows. We didn't have these windows until, I think it was last February, and it was burr cold in our house. Now we have the windows this year, and guess what? We feel so warm and so comfortable in our bedroom. I went and turned down the heat last night before I went to bed because I said I don't want to get too warm inside of my room because of the great windows that I have from UWD. And right now, you can get 0% interest for 60 months. That says 5 whole years of 0% interest, plus buy two windows, get two free. There's no limit. And on top of that, because they love you, they'll give you an extra gift. If you buy your windows now, you'll get a free vacation voucher with your project. Yes, so call them today at 414-410-2000. That's 414-410-2000. Or go to UniversalWindowsDirect.com to schedule your free in-home estimate today. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
I have now figured out there's a lot of places in Milwaukee on the east side. It's not just Lake Michigan.
Yeah, UWM. It's located on the east side.
I've now realized that when I drive north on Lake Drive, I'm probably
going
through
the east side. Yep, you are.
Nice area on the east
side.
What
a day.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Dude,
did I start this segment with the I don't know if it's true?
Yeah,
you have had a really rough last 15 minutes.
All right, then we'll give you the floor, okay? It's Wheel of Strofe time, and he's prepared next.
Always prepared.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
These hands are not made for fixing anything in a house. I make a phone call, and I'm cheap, but I ain't that cheap. I got my guys. Got my handyman. Shout out to Chris. Under the table.
Just like that. Dude's getting audited now.
Yeah.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Get into the Arctic action at Potawatomi Casino Hotel in Milwaukee. Entries through the 18th. Come on Thursdays for drawings. $300,000 in cash and prizes. And also, it's just an amazing sports book that they have there with an amazing video wall, great food, great service, drink specials. You don't even have to like to bet. You just want to go watch some sports on a giant video wall where they have everything? Well, check. Literally every box is checked off with Potawatomi Casino Hotel and their amazing sports book. And get into the Arctic action. Must be 21 years or older. Play with your rewards card. More info is online. So, Gabe Neitzel, host of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 7 and 9, on 94.5 ESPN right here, texted me. He is flabbergasted at the idea that when a caller called in from the east side of town, I genuinely asked him if he was in Madison on the east side because I thought there was no east side in Milwaukee. I thought that was just the lake. Now, I'm coming to see on the Carbless Talk and Text Line on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee that there is an east side. And now I'm starting to feel a little bad.
Why are you feeling bad? You're always
because you
dumb.
Didn't believe us or what?
No, I believe you guys. But yesterday, I was having a conversation with my wife, and she mentioned something about like we should try this restaurant. I think it's on the east side. I was like, east side? There's no east side. There's just
oh
a big
gosh.
Lake.
Wait, this happened again?
This,
No, this happened yesterday.
So this is the reason you said that today is because it
because
was fresh
of yesterday.
In your brain.
Yes.
Oh, look at
so
look
in
at,
my head.
Look
at
dance
fate,
on the car,
look at like fate you. Saying we got to get this guy to be less dumb.
Yes. And now I feel bad because I was like she was like, you're kind of being a jerk. I was like, I'm not being a jerk. There's a big lake next to Milwaukee. How could there be an east side?
I don't even understand how you even process that in your mind.
Look, Kyle, look.
There's literally maps that say Lower East Side over Milwaukee.
Look at my map. When you look at my map, right, you see Milwaukee? It looks like there's no east side. I'm super zoomed out.
you do realize you live on like the east side of Milwaukee County, correct?
I do. I guess I'm east of 43.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're close to the lake.
I have a question. Are you not sure how geography works?
Oh, geography.
The audacity that I have to mock somebody after I get the east side wrong and yell at my wife and say, there's a lake there.
So you need to apologize.
When you think
that,
that is the egregious. City, they said, actually, we're only going to have west.
I figured, yes, if a city was on a lake, it was north, west, and south. I didn't think it could be east.
What do you mean?
So if you're like a coastal town in like California where the ocean's there.
There's no west side.
There's no such thing as a west side of California.
But
you're in the ocean,
idiot.
My whole
life thinking that no matter where you are by a body of water, there can't be anything where
that
the water
is.
Do you know what a border is?
I do.
Okay, so borders have endings. So like the state of Wisconsin would end. I guess you still have territories in the lake, but like the land ends at a certain point. So that's the most east point where the land typically
haven't
ends.
Haven't you noticed since you've lived in Milwaukee the last 4 years, we often reference this area. Like, for example, if you're watching some of the winter and storm coverage by all the great meteorologists in the area tonight.
Meteorologists are a farce. And,
wow.
Okay, Jim Rutledge. That's an old Rutledgeism. They always reference the areas southeastern Wisconsin, despite the eastern part being next to the lake.
I guess when you put it like that.
Yeah, because the whole state, the whole state can't be west.
I understand, but I'm talking about the city of Milwaukee. When I look at it, I've looked at it on a map.
There's nothing east in Milwaukee.
I've always thought it was just the water.
So you thought west was just everything.
Guys, I've learned. I don't know what you're trying to.
So hold on. I guess I'm going to ask the question Kyle asked 90 seconds ago again. You've heard of borders.
Yes.
So the border ends at Lake Michigan. That's the east side of the city.
I get it now.
Now, the rest of the border goes west. Okay. There's a middle point. That's west.
So
from the middle point up is north, and from the middle point down is south.
Okay.
That's that direction.
I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and yes, I thought there was no east side.
I
thought
crazy.
It was just the lake.
So wait. Can I just quickly? So you grew up in the suburbs of Chicago.
So when
right?
I went downtown, I was like, oh.
I'm going south, but
I'm west.
What was the city going towards the lake, the next city over?
What do you mean?
Where you brought up at. You weren't the last city, were you, on the lake?
What lake?
Lake Michigan?
I didn't live off the lake.
Okay, but you didn't live off the lake. You live more west, right? And so if you had to go towards
northwest, I would go east, but I wasn't out. But I wasn't.
I would go east, but the city of Chicago
that dot on the map, I thought anything east was nothing. It was the lake.
But everything is considered west. That is truly indefensible.
It is.
I was going to say, because it does lead to a greater question of where does east begin and west, or where does east end and west start?
Now you're talking, Brad.
Because, for instance, I would live in what you'd call as a way western suburb in Oconomowoc of Milwaukee. But who's to say it's not an eastern suburb of Madison?
I would say
the middle.
I saw two callers call.
Yeah, they said the same thing, because apparently, I don't know who said something. Did somebody ask where the east side begins? Was that brought up at any point? Because they both yelled at me because none of us said the answer, apparently. Ben, if you were to guess, before we tell you the answer.
Like a landmark?
I might have jokingly said, where does the east begin and the west end?
How do they determine the east side of Milwaukee? Get your finger off the computer.
Ooh, this is a good question.
It's not that hard of an answer.
No. So, say it again.
The east side of Milwaukee, how is that determined?
What I've learned today is obviously Milwaukee, the city, doesn't just like the city is not on the lake. The city is in the city.
What the hell does that mean?
What? Wait, the city of Milwaukee isn't on a lake. The city's on the city.
I'm trying really hard, guys.
I'm being genuine. I'm not doing the thing.
Repeat what you just said. I just learned today that the city of Milwaukee is not on a lake. The city of Milwaukee is in the city.
Let me ask the question again. Ben, where does the east side of Milwaukee begin and end?
It ends at the lake.
That's correct.
Where does it begin? I couldn't tell you. Because I don't know where the central point of the city is.
Okay. Ben, there is a very large landmark in the city of Milwaukee that splits the west and east side of the city.
Think of Kyle.
What about Kyle?
What about Kyle?
On a boat?
Ah, the Milwaukee River.
The Milwaukee River, where that splits, you go over the bridge or any of the bridges, east side.
Whoo!
So we're in
Ben,
the east side.
The University of Wisconsin has been proud to say that you have an agree from their institution.
Whoo!
Yes, they do, John. They're very proud.
That's crazy. You didn't know that there was an east side.
How did Ben get into UW?
You got to be one of the dumbest individuals I've ever met.
What is wrong?
Why are you?
Why are you supposed to know what that is?
No, apparently Homer. Homer, he didn't know that east side existed. Somebody called in from the east side, and he said, where are you from, the east side of Madison? We said, no, the east side of Milwaukee. There is no east side.
I heard it. I don't think his position is that
absurd.
Shocking.
So no.
Because it's him?
It's absurd, but it's not shocking.
Because it's him?
No, because, like, the lake is east side. When does east side start? When does east side end?
But in Milwaukee, it's pretty clear cut.
They have a whole side called the Lower East Side.
What? Yeah. But the Lower East Side, the Upper East Side, it's right next to the river.
I couldn't tell you. Where does it start? Where does it end? I don't.
Where does the West Side start?
Greater question.
I don't know.
If there's a body of water.
Tosa ends, or Milwaukee ends at 60th. So to me, that's.
Rest is the lake.
But John
and Brookfield, you're on the Barbless Talking Text Line.
I got your back on this one.
Thank you, Homer.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Ben, the east side is exactly east of the river, yes. Then there's this wholly newly formed area called River West. And I'll give you a hint. It's what direction from the river?
Goodbye, John. Thank you for the call.
That's hilarious.
Professor Big Daddy J.A.
Yeah,
John
like
Anderson.
He's so smart. It would have been the River West long ago, but it wasn't.
But Homer, it's the idea of
what they called it.
We're making up names.
It's the idea that East can't exist.
The names of
if
these neighborhoods
water
are all
to the east.
Arbitrary.
That's the problem.
No, you don't know where it starts. I was the same way in Chicago. I don't know what the east side of Chicago is. East side of Chicago is the lake.
Homer, I don't think you identified the sarcasm from John and Brookfield. River West has been around a lot longer than you have been.
Yeah, River West has been around for a while.
Again, okay, fine. I never knew it existed.
River West?
What about the combined? I heard about it in recent times. No, I didn't know it existed.
Do you guys know nothing about the city of Working? No, they don't. You used to work on East Capitol. You know there's a West Capitol?
John Anderson.
I know all about Capitol.
Joins us next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
I said, baby, we gotta do more sucking. And so I called the company. I said, listen, y'all put this thing in here. Y'all need to come on.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Buying a home is one of the biggest moves you'll ever make, KBN Nation. If you're making that move, I have the perfect team for you. That is the team at Citizens Bank. They will help you from the pre-approval process all the way to closing, even after you get your keys. They will be there with you every step of the way. No running around, no wondering who to call, no last-minute surprises. Just one trusted lender making the whole thing feel a lot less stressful. And get this, you can meet with somebody in person or you can start your application online. However you roll, they've got you. So whether you're buying, refinancing, or just starting to dream, check out Citizens Bank, WI.Bank. That's Citizens Bank, WI.Bank. You won't regret it by checking out Citizens Bank, WI.Bank. That's banking where you belong, and they are an equal housing lender.
It is Kyle Brustin Ortman before the Homer Hour, and we are joined now by Professor Big Daddy J.A. John Anderson, ESPN SportsCenter, now teaching the youth and instilling great worth ethic and knowledge that I don't have, clearly. John, welcome into the show.
How are you, friend? Good to visit with you here on a Tuesday evening.
Yeah, I've had a rough one, so I'm going to toss it over to somebody else.
I'll take it, John. We were just discussing, before we got completely sidetracked by Ben Brust, who is the most important third Packer on the team? It's Jordan Love, of course, then Micah Parsons, of course. Tucker Kraft was the third one sort of unanimously among us until he got injured, leaving a void. Who do you as the third most important Packer on the team, especially if this team is going to make a Super Bowl run?
I really hadn't thought that far down the depth chart. Is that a critical position, the third best player? I guess you're on the podium, the bronze medal player.
You're probably not speaking at the Super Bowl, but you're up there.
Well,
you're shaking
we've
hands.
We've had many
with...
conversations about the Super Bowl teams and Super Bowl, you know, appearance, both NFC, AFC. They had a lot of all pros, so you'd be looking for this person to be close to an all pro.
Where's the cutoff that I now just say you're just a Packer and a contributing member? How far down can we go?
Well, you have to list some for us to tell you.
I don't, honestly, I might be able to come a third. Like, I don't have the eighth. If the question after this, who's the eighth best Packer? I don't know. Give me somebody on the offensive line that keeps Jordan Love safe. So whoever that guy is. Huh?
Zach Tom, maybe?
Who's the best offensive lineman? Just so we can get one, because that's probably fairly important spot. Or let's always go back, if nothing else, I'll take Josh Jacobs.
There you have it.
Josh Jacobs. All right. Well, John, are you more confident in this offense now that they finally found themselves and are hitting their stride now? Do you believe in them?
I believe in them. I don't think they've come close to finding themselves and hitting their stride. Ooh. I think they have a lot left to find. You know, like, I'm trying to find some consistency in who they are, like, who's good. I knew Reed came back. Like, maybe Watson has finally established himself as, okay, there's your best wide receiver. But then whoever else can, like, where did Bo Melton come from yesterday?
Cornerback four to scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, and so, or then the week before was Dontavian Wicks, and a nod to Wilde's, you know, infinite faith in that guy. So I still don't know that they're remarkably consistent. You know, they still every once in a while throw in a head scratching three and out on play calling. So I think there, if anything, there's way more there. I like the upside on the offense better than I do in the defense. The defense has shown that they can play really well for a half. I'm not sure why sometimes when they go into the locker room, they feel like maybe they just didn't want to come out right away. Because they've had some second half issues, and then on occasion they play well first half and come out.
Man, you're looking for them to be perfect,
but, John. Mm. You, would, I mean, so you. I know you're excited over the win, but you're saying moving forward on to the next, be better.
I'm just saying, yeah. Like if you guys think this is the finished product, I don't know that that's a Super Bowl team yet. I think they've got that capability, but I don't know that that if that's what you want to be the finished product, then I think you're selling the club short. I think there's more there. I'm just saying, I think the defense consistently plays better than the offense.
What did you think of the defense in the second half, though?
Pardon me?
What did you think of the defense in the second half?
Well, I think some of that, I didn't think they were great. I think Ben Johnson had some really good plays. I think the offense gets paid, too. So on occasion, right, they're going to score. You can't shut everybody all the time. But they've had some of those. When they get in a rut, right, where they let somebody score a drive or two, they seem to go three and four and five drives where the teams seem to really put the wood to them. And this time they managed to stop it late with Nixon. But, like, look at that Cowboy game when it got going sideways. They just couldn't, for whatever reason, get it back. So that concerns me a little when they get – when boy, they were so good in that first half, and they've had a couple of those like that. But when they get sideways they don't seem to be able to put a tourniquet on that very well, which is what I kind of like to see. We're like, okay, why is it you go from being literally these world beaters to you look like a sieve? And so that bit of a mystery I'd like to solve, shore that up. Because they gave up how many points in the second half? Like the Bears went through them pretty easily. But I think some of that also is on the other offense, the other side. The quarterback, 18 is slippery is what I kept texting people. Like that guy is, you know, he's trouble if you're outside your pass lane. I just would like the defense every once in a while, you know, go ahead and and not have those laps where for 25 minutes people have their way with them.
John, did you know? Did you know, though, that Micah Parsons has not one accepted holding penalty?
It's untrue. I said Tom Silverstein said he has had three.
Yeah, you listened to Ben earlier today.
Either way, he should have way more than three, shouldn't he, John? He gets held on like every other play.
And somebody, right, didn't somebody say last year he won 11 games before he got one? So, I don't know, maybe the guy is himself, but it did see him a couple of times. Maybe that's it. Maybe holding is the problem. Because nobody is holding him. They're kind of putting him, they're just choking him to death. Not holding. So maybe by the rules, they are not technically holding him. They're just molesting him. And I don't know that that's a call.
Oh, wow.
But it is.
That should be a 15-yarder at minimum.
15-yarder. Call the police. 911. Help. Yes.
Where's Cleet Blakeman, the guy that always says they're like, they're down there giving him the business. And I wish somebody would call that.
John, I look forward to hearing you with Homer coming up next on the Homer Hour. We appreciate you.
Be well, man.
That's John Anderson. Kyle with the call 911. Help! Homer Hour up next in 2 minutes.